Hear again the word of the Lord. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Death isn't natural. Temporal death ends a man's life by separating his immortal soul from his mortal body. But that was not the way things were from the beginning. In the beginning, God created us to live forever. It was only sin that introduced death into this world. Today on Easter 3, we look at our Lord's resurrection and how he, in fact, did redeem Israel, and he redeemed it through his death. We find ourselves in our gospel lesson today on the road to Emmaus with the disciples. It's Easter, and these disciples have not yet encountered the risen Jesus. They've heard some rumors. The women have come back from the tomb saying that they've seen angels, and the angels told them he is risen. But these disciples do not know that he is risen. So they're walking to Emmaus, chatting about all the things that had transpired during Holy Week. Jesus comes up to them, and of course he has veiled himself from their sight. They don't recognize him. They just think he's another guy walking on the road to Emmaus. And he asks them, what are you guys talking about? Well, don't you know? Are you the only guy that was lodged at Jerusalem that didn't get the news? There was this Jesus fellow. I mean, he was a prophet. He was mighty in word and deed. And a couple days ago, our chief priests and rulers killed him. We thought he was going to be the one who redeemed Israel. But it's been 3 days. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They never listened to his teaching, did they? They weren't listening to Jesus when he said that the Son of Man must suffer, die, and rise. That the Son of Man must give his life as a ransom for many. When they behold Jesus' death, what do they see? A loss, an end, a triumph of evil over good. But is that how he has taught them to see his death? Is that how Jesus has taught you to see your death? No. His death is a victory. It is, in fact, the redemption that they had hoped for. Again, death is not natural. It's a consequence and a punishment for sin. And that's true for everyone's death except for Jesus's. Because Jesus was without sin. As the scriptures teach us, he became man yet without sin. He was immortal God. And when he became man, he did not become a sinner when he took on human flesh. And he lays down his life for the sheep. The chief priests, the scribes, not even Pilate and the centurion took his life from him. He laid it down, as he himself says in John chapter 10. Jesus went to Jerusalem to die as the redemption offering, as a pure and innocent sacrifice. He willingly went to death in the place of his enemies, that they might become his brothers. So Jesus begins to explain to them. He says, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scripture, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." Talk about all the passages in scripture that you want to learn more. How much would you like to be sitting there while Jesus preaches on the whole scriptures and explains how all of them are about him? I wish we had that one written down. But we can conjecture, of course, what are the things that he is talking about? He explains that it was necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory. The Christ needed to suffer before he could be exalted. We see that all over the scriptures, that storyline. Let's consider two for a moment. Consider Joseph, the patriarch, and his brothers. Did Joseph go from having a rainbow, multicolored cloak to being the second in command of Egypt? No. He went through the valley of the shadow of death, did he not? He was sold by his brothers into slavery, then thrown into Pharaoh's prisons. It was only by God's grace and mercy that he was brought out of that pit of despair, exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. Did David go from having a promise made to him that he would be the king of Israel to being enthroned in Zion with the temple and all those glorious things in Jerusalem? No. He was being hunted by Saul, an outlaw, among his enemies, being treated as a criminal. From the moment that he was anointed to the time when he is actually crowned, they were talking decades. Decades. And this isn't about a sermon about how you need to be prepared for decades and decades or something like that. This is about Jesus. See, all of these patterns, all of these types in the scriptures are all about Jesus. The one who would come was not going to march into Jerusalem and throw Pilate into the pit and be crowned. That's what they were expecting. Jesus came to suffer and die, to be tossed into the pit like Joseph, to suffer derision, to be treated as a criminal the way David was. And yet through his death, redemption is accomplished. We see, for example, the sacrifices of the Old Testament typify this. How the animals were slain, and by their blood being shed, forgiveness was granted. We can see how the flood destroyed mankind and saved Noah and his family. How in the Exodus, God slew many of the Egyptians and redeemed his people. In the Old Testament, Jesus is promised in explicit prophecies, typified in men and institutions, foreshadowed in sacrifices and the architecture of the Old Testament. He's hinted at in stories, hymned in the Psalms. And now in these last days, dear Christians, he is made known to you in preaching and in the breaking of the bread. Now, just as death is not natural, but a consequence of sin, so too unbelief is not natural, but it is a consequence of the fall. Those disciples on that road to Emmaus, it wasn't just that they were dull types of people. It's not that they just didn't have the logical capabilities to put all these things together. Their eyes were closed because of unbelief. But what does Jesus do? He comes to them and preaches to them. He tells them that he has come to suffer and die to pay for their sins, and that he will rise and ascend to give us faith through his word. Those things that he preaches to the disciples that day, he preaches to you, dear Christians. He has suffered and died to pay for your sin, and he has risen and ascended to give you faith by his word and to sustain you in that faith unto life everlasting. Now, why do you need that? Why do you need forgiveness of sins? It's because you have broken his commandments. All of them, including the third commandment about his word. And what has he done in response to that? He has kept them for you. He has kept them in your place, and now God no longer sees your sins, but Christ's righteousness. And with that very same word of God, he now makes himself known to you. And having instructed you in his commandments and his gospel, his prayer and his sacraments, confessing your sins, trusting in your Lord, you are now ready to depart in peace. You are now ready to die. Remember, death isn't natural. It's a consequence and punishment of sin. Except that's only true of unbelievers. For Christians, death is still a consequence of sin, but is no longer a punishment for sin. For Christ has gone before the Christian into the valley of the shadow of death. He took your punishment for him, before you. And now he shepherds you, his dear flock, through the valley of the shadow of death. He is with you in your suffering. As you get those diagnoses, as you suffer pain and illness, grief and woe, as you breathe your last, he is with you through it all. And now, because of his suffering and death, dear Christians, the scriptures can call the death of a Christian being gathered to one's people, departing in peace, departing and being with Christ, being taken from evil, falling asleep in Christ, resting, passing from death to life, being delivered from evil. And finally, and perhaps the most beautiful, the scriptures can call the death of a Christian gain. In the midst of our grief, in the midst of our suffering, Christ comes to you and opens the scriptures to give you faith. He assures you that his suffering, his death, has taken the punishment. The sting of death is gone. He has defanged death. Now death for you is gain. And he gives to you his body and his blood each Sunday to keep you firm in this faith unto life everlasting. In his name, amen.